Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my privilege and honor to welcome a very celebrated author from India, Milan Vohra. Milan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Milan is India's first Mills & Boon author. She has been the creative director of JWT and Saatchi & Saatchi. And in her own words, she juggles fiction and advertising. So Milan, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
So I think all of them are linked in a way with, they're kind of interlinked with professional and personal discoveries, I'd say. The first, I think, would be when I had moved away from Delhi to Bangalore and I came to the city, with two very young children, and I ended up taking a gap from mainstream work. And, you're doing the thing that's needed at that point in time, which was, sending the kids to school and all of that. And every time I missed advertising a lot. And I was doing the odd freelance campaign that came by me, but I was in a new city and there was all of that, you lost the connections where people would even know that you were around.
Correct.
And I remember at one point in time, even my husband, he would say a lot has changed. Every time I say, I think I'm ready to go back to work. And, he'd say, but a lot has changed. Are you sure? Blah, blah, blah,
Correct.
And so this was at the first place that I went back to on a half day kind of a consulting role. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I was told that we'll be briefed on something and I was waiting for that brief to come in. Mm-hmm. And there was this one of the junior writers and he said, I put it on your desktop. And I went to my desk, mm-hmm. and I'm looking, there's no brief. I'm expecting a folder, mm-hmm. I'm expecting something physical,
Correct.
And, then I realized that he was actually talking about it would be on the desktop on my computer. Mm-hmm. And it was like that bigger kind of a gap that I had,
Correct.
Walked into, right. technically, a technology gap. Mm-hmm. But when we started working, and this was for a pretty major pitch, and I think it was for Reliance, for one of their very, very hardcore industrial brands. Mm-hmm. And when I started doing the work, and when the work started coming, and people around you started seeing what it was. And I remember all the young ones were coming, and it was actually almost embarrassing the way they were saying, that kind of thing. And for me, that was quite an aha moment where I realized that never mind if technology has changed and I'm going to make a fool of myself if I want to, say I don't know something, but I ask for help and the help. And the core thing that I bring, which was my ability to have an idea and to be able to translate it into communication, that hasn't changed. That was such a big realization because you start to doubt yourself so much.
Hmm.
So for me, that was a big, big learning that it's okay. You what the core thing that you need to know or that you have built a skill in,
mm-hmm.
that hasn't changed. And it's okay to ask for help for the rest of it. And that is all conquerable.
Okay.
So that was one big moment. And the second was when I had moved on to a job where I had kind of come back, and I was feeling like, this is it. I've made up for all those years gone and I'm now back at this role that I should have been, all of that. But I had walked into a job where I hadn't done my homework adequately.
Okay.
I realized I was in a situation where I couldn't hire, I couldn't fire. I was really struggling with the team that I had and to get things done. And I was also at that time in a spiritual practice where I was, praying and trying to overcome challenges through that spiritual journey, which was to pray for those people's happiness.
Hmm.
So typically, where in a corporate life and you'd say, this is too much, this is terrible and, whatever. And you would get into the whole, how do I, strategy through mm-hmm. a different way. And I was trying to work through this through the guidance that I was getting, which was pray for their happiness. And I kept doing that. And at the end of the day, I had reached a situation where at that particular point in time, one point in time, I realized that I had been pretty much carrying the weight of what should have been a huge team by myself. And it had been a month that I had been returning from work at about 2 or something at night, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. By the time I would surface, the kids had already got up and left for school. And a month had passed that I hadn't seen my children. Mm-hmm. And I realized this is just not it. This is not what I wanted either. Mm-hmm. You know. And I had continued to stick to saying, I will not try any other strategy but to chant for these people's happiness.
Okay.
So I went into the situation and spoke to my boss and said, this is this, and he said whatever. So I realized that there was no option for me but to walk away.
Okay.
You know? And I came away from it, Ashutosh, feeling like a failure. Mm. Even though I had given it everything. You know? Mm. We all talk about failure and so on. So I remember at that point in time I came away feeling like, you know, did I not try enough? All I did was I kept chanting for their happiness. Mm. You know, what did that get me?
Correct.
I've just, you know, I had landed myself the job that I thought was, mm-hmm. You know, perfect in every way and so on. But I came away from there still not sure how to analyze this and what to make of it. And then I realized that this whole thing, you know, the cliche that, you know, when one door closes, another door opens, mm-hmm. that literally happened. So the next learning was, you must not be so hard on yourself. I was always very hard on myself.
Don't beat yourself up all the time.
Completely. And I was, you know, taking blame and responsibility in my head for something that was not in my control. I had done the best I could and I had then walked away from it.
Fantastic.
And then soon after that, I found that, you know, what I had done in that job had started the reputation and the goodwill it had earned, started getting me so many projects and so much work that mm-hmm. professionally I continued to grow. And then soon after that, the writing journey opened up, the writing fiction journey opened up, you know, and it's something that I would probably never have done if I had been sucked into that, you know, 18 hour a day kind of job and the pressures that I was in.
So that was
another, very interesting moment.
Very interesting. So let's move to, you know, your current avatar as an author. Tell me about, you know, when you started writing and what made you choose fiction as a genre?
I had been writing, Ashutosh, for myself with no thought of being published. So I was writing short stories where, you know, they were very, very different from what I'm writing now. Mm. They were more involved around things that bothered me as a woman, things that I would notice, and then I would imagine different endings and so on. So, you know, so there was that, but it was all kept away in some notebook. And, you know, I would get a burst of writing, say, sometime at night after a hard day. And none of it was with a view to being published. And I think one particular day there was, a short story contest by Harlequin, the big name, in romance, what Disney is to children's films and so on, Harlequin is to romance. And they were doing the search for looking for the first Indian writer from Mizzenhu. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that short story on a whim by hand. I still write by hand. So my bigger challenge was not writing the story, but the bigger challenge was, okay, I need to get this onto the computer, I need to edit it, see how long it is, does it fit the word length, all of it. Huh. So I did it on impulse, and before I knew it, you know, I was told that it was in the shortlist, and then they had this very big, you know, almost like a reality event where, you know, I was invited and I went on to win, and it was much bigger than I imagined it to be. I went there thinking, okay, they said, we want you to come and you're in the shortlist of 10 and, you know, it's in Bombay, it's on Marine Drive, it's in this lovely. I thought, I'm going to go there, it's okay, I haven't been there for some time, I'll see some friends, I'll see this lovely view of the sea and come back. Mm. You know, so that kind of turned my life in another different direction. And that's how the journey began with romance. It wasn't a thought out, planned thing saying, I'm going to get into romance, but doing it has been fun.
Fantastic. And then that led you into writing your first Mills and Boone?
Yeah, the contest didn't come with a contract, actually, contrary to what a lot of people assume. It didn't come with a contract. It came with some prizes, a subscription of Mills and Boons and things like that. It came with a laptop, which on my way back from that contest, I left with mom, who needed one. You know, but the real thing came after that, which was they said that you can, you know, you would be mentored by our editors in UK. And then began a journey that I wasn't expecting, which was quite a hard one, because they had no India sensibility. I had no understanding of romance fiction. You know, you till then you were a reader, you were a viewer, and you hadn't really sort of, you know, broken it down in your head and thought of, okay, what is it? What is it that really makes for a stronger story and things like that. So that went on for almost a year till we finally, you know, were glad and happy to go ahead with the book that finally came out as The Lavasan.
That's quite amazing. So, you know, tell me what makes Mills and Boons so popular? I mean, I remember from the time of my mother and my aunts, they've all been reading Mills and Boons. What makes it so popular in our country? I can understand anywhere else.
Why separate India from the rest of the country? Because Ashutosh, human beings are the same everywhere.
Agree.
And another thing I can tell you is that, in fact, a lot of people assume that romance is for women. You know, I have been surprised from the time I wrote that book to my most recent book called Head Over Heels, which I just self-published last month.
Okay.
The last three reviews that are up in the last 2 days are by men.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, so there's a lot of myths around romance, you know, that a certain generation only reads them or a certain gender only reads them. It's not true. But I think what has made Mills and Boons what it is that they have not only just understood, you know, that you know, these are the things that make for a stronger conflict. These are the things that make for a more dramatic story. But they're also, it's worked as a brand and a product almost. Because there are categories and categories and categories within Harlequin, and then within Mills and Boons, which is just one of the imprints. And then they have many, many imprints within that. So there are, you know, I was quite zapped and amused as a communication professional to see that it is so clearly segregated and defined in their marketing. You know, for example, pink covers would be saying romances, which would then be romances written where, let's say, intimate stuff or intimate moments are always behind closed doors. There would be, say, the modern series, which would be with a blue cover. I wonder why. And which would be, which would then be a little bit more spicy, and it was with more international contemporary settings. There would be things, you know, which would be geared only for people who like country romances. So there was almost like, and then there were gay romances. There were, you know, there were fantasy romances, because there was a trend that was going, right? So there was the whole vampire thing that happened, where, you know, they probably realized that there are people who just want more of this. So they know their product and their readers very well.
Amazing.
Yeah, then it was a question of saying, do I want to be part of this, and for how long?
Fantastic. Yeah. So, you know, as an author who's done, who's written so much, and you said for a long time you were writing for yourself and then you started getting published, for someone who's written longer format books, someone's written short stories, my question to you is, what makes one a good writer?
I think first of all is honesty.
Okay.
If there's a story you want to tell, and if you actually say, don't try to write like so and so, or say, I want to tell a story which is like that. You know, you have a story, write it with honesty. Write it with pleasure, your own pleasure, you know, when you're doing it. Correct. And also with a lot of patience, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if there are times when you're aiming for a certain result. Let's say that you want a scene that you've written to be humorous. You know, but even on paper, you know, you're writing it, you're trying to put in certain dialogue which is supposed to come off like this or like that. But you pull back and you look at it and you're realizing that, no, what this guy is saying is actually sounding damn cheesy.
Correct.
I don't want it to sound like that. I actually want it to be something where when I read it, it also makes me smile.
Yeah.
You know? Hmm. And then you want your response as a reader to be what, you know, what that heroine or the protagonists are going through. So you also have to be patient with yourself and pull away and come back and not get frustrated. And also not write for anybody else. You know, there's too much pressure, I think, even on writers. The moment you had one success, your publisher wants you to have another book out in a year, you know, because they believe that, you know, you've now got a body of readers and you must keep delivering so that you keep and grow that body of readers.
Yeah.
But to me, that also shows you, I've seen so many authors who I started out loving, you know, even really big international names. And then you see that, you know,
the quality
detail. Why is it that their first few books were damn good? And then now they seem to have, you know, lost that spark. Absolutely. That got you into them in the first place.
You know, you're so right, because, you know, I've written several books and my seventh one is coming out in...
You were mentioning, and I'm quite amazed. Some of them are very cinema worthy, Ashutosh.
I don't know. But, you know, one of the big publishers came to me who published one of my books and said, can we do a 3-book deal? And I said, listen, I never write under pressure. If you're gonna ask me to write and do a deal, then it won't work at all, because I won't write anything.
Yeah.
So I think what you're saying is so right. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Interesting. You're talking about these deals. You know, I had a couple of those as well coming to me, and I said no for the same reason. Then I also later at one time, of course, because I see so, you know, madly about everything. Mm. Yeah. And I kept thinking, so would it have been better, because at least I'd have had the pressure. You know, this is one of the big dilemmas, you know, coming from advertising, where the only time you finally had to crack an idea, right? An idea is never happening within hours and all of that.
Correct.
But the only time you had no choice but to finally go with something, you know, even if you were critiquing yourself, you had to go with something, was when that deadline was on your head and you have to present.
So tell me, when you write, do you write to a specific schedule, or you write whenever you feel like?
Sadly, I don't have that kind of discipline of writing to a schedule, and it's one of the things that I've just made lots of affirmations and stuck them all over my desk about how disciplined I am and how amazed I am at my ability. You know, so the whole affirmation thing of I am amazed at how I can write every day with pleasure and so on. But that's like so far in the wishful thinking zone. But when I do write is when I finally I am excited about something, because there'll be at least 10, 12, 16 plots that are in some of my folders, which are, you know, starters, and some of them will have been detailed out. But when I'm finally excited about it, then I'm obsessive. So then it is night after night after night, and sleeping and seeing when you see the sunrise and so on.
Fantastic. And do you still write by hand, or have you switched to the computer?
No, I still write by hand, but I'm exploring lots of software.
Wow, that is quite incredible. That is amazing.
But you know, that's really the smaller part of it. The transferring it onto a comp is, okay, it's still the next stage. The main thing is to get your first draft ready.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I've often wondered, when people tell me they write by hand, what happens when you make a mistake, you know? Then you start writing all over again, the same page?
Mistake kya hai? You cut it? You move on, you throw lots of papers?
No, you thought.
You rewrite?
You know, thinking ek tarah chal raha, and then suddenly you realize that, you know, I want to take the story in some other direction.
I find that once I've got a first draft on the comp, then I can rewrite on the comp. I can throw away scenes, I can rewrite scenes. But I need to get one first draft, and then it's easy to say this just isn't working and I need to move away. But I typically don't run into a major block, Ashutosh, in terms of plot, because I plot to a very, very great detail. So I will have at least one diary full of, each and every chapter of characters, of minor characters, subplots will be detailed.
So one more question on your books before I move to, you know, I have time for a few more questions for you personally. When you're writing your book, and I've asked this from many authors, do you have your end figured out already, or do you, you know, weave in your end as you are writing?
I think that the end per se is not the goal, but it's like saying, what is this story about, you know? For me, it's there's often a parallel between advertising and writing fiction, which is like very often I used to tell, you know, any planner, any account, client servicing person, saying, leave that PPT aside, leave that deck aside. Tell me the brief in one line. Tell me the basically of this. What is are we trying to say basically? And the rest of it will then just be supporting anything else you say.
Okay.
So similarly, if I'm writing a story, I know that this is basically going to be a story about.
Okay.
For example, in TikTok with 30, this is basically going to be a story about revisiting old friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when old friends meet, which means that the main meat of the story is about all the old baggage you bring to it, the old affection you bring to it. Do you go back to being yourself, you know, or because let's say you're meeting after 10 years, are there going to be huge changes in you? And within that, will you can sparks fly? Because I like romance, so romance will be a part of it. But what happens in that is something where in TikTok, for example, till the end, I hadn't decided whether she's going to end up with Nishad or Farzan.
Okay.
I'd kind of fallen out of love with one guy and fallen in love with the other. But then I realized that right from the beginning, all the actions that I had given one of them, I won't give it away, were leading very much to that ending. So so I had to again pull away and come back and rewrite that. Yeah.
Wonderful. So Milan, I've got time for two, maybe three questions now. And these are questions for you personally. You know, here is Milan Vora, moved to Bangalore, went through advertising, discovered writing, successful, won competitions. First Mills and Boone author. What does success mean to Milan?
Success to me is, on a very personal level, it is to constantly practice anything that I might say, practice what you teach, so that you know, you're leading an authentic kind of life. And the second is through whatever I'm doing, if I can in any which way touch somebody and you know, bring some sort of joy. I think that I'll give you a very small example, Ashutosh. It was to me a very significant, for me it was a moment for me saying my life is, I'm on the right track, you know, whatever. Was I was started this Kalinga Fellowship, which is, you know, something that I'm very passionate about. Currently, we're working in the area of, you know, trafficking and women and children. And last year, I was there, you know, to learn and to contribute. There were people who were coming from all parts of India who were bringing in different, you know, different expertise. There was different stakeholders we were being introduced to. And there was this girl, young girl, who was coming from Kashmir. Now, you know, she'd been without internet, without everything for months, but, you know, she was very, very committed. She came in there and I was coming in a little late into the opening day.
Okay.
I had got to a lit fest and I'd missed the first half. And so when I came in, they'd already been divided into smaller groups and I came in and I said, I'm Milan. And, you know, at that time, you know, her eyes lit up, Ashutosh, and she just said, and this is sounds really immodest, but, you know, she said, "Dar Milan Vora." And I just looked and I wondered, you know, she mixing me up with somebody or whatever, you know, but obviously you're feeling really nice and whatever. So later we broke away for coffee and, you know, I said, "Have you even read anything I've written?" And she said, "Of course." And she had read the book that had just come out a month ago, you know, so even in that situation, or and then she just held my hand, Ashutosh, and she said, "Thank you for writing." And I realized that even, you know, the naysayers of romances, there's a lot of that as well that I get, you know, there are people who are always knocking it down. And even within commercial fiction, people think that's like the lowest sort of thing. And everybody thinks that they can do it, but they'd rather not. But, you know, the joy of reading a romance that this girl just translated for me in those words, you know, and she just did it. And I realized that, you know, when she's going through whatever she is, and later I learned a lot of what she was going through. But, you know, thus that told me that the books actually do so much, you know, that they connect your readers with a way to feel that happiness and that way to be able to hope and to you know
amazing
escape also. Yeah, that to me was a moment that defined success for me.
Fantastic. So I'm going to ask you for a very short answer to my last question. And that is that if you, Milan, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
One is that I think, I'd say two, please. Not one first, I suppose.
Okay.
One is I would definitely say when your parents tell you to sleep, please sleep. Get enough sleep in your life. Sleep is pretty fundamental to doing anything. You know, okay. I think I compromise on sleep all the time.
Right.
And the second thing, the more important thing is that, you know, we spend our lives waiting for somebody else to come rescue us.
Hmm.
You know, you keep waiting for your parents to stand up for you. You keep waiting for a spouse to stand up and say something for you. And you know, it's really important you stand up for yourself. Hmm. And it's something I learned very late.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
But I think it's important. And now if I could, you know, tell anybody, I would say just do it. Do it. And to also talk about what's going on with you.
Hmm. Terrific. Milan, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I'm looking forward to reading more of your books. And I'm sure everyone who's going to listen to us and listen to you speaking will be looking forward to reading all your books. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. I'm really honored that you had me here. And I look forward to reading your books.
I will send it to you. Thank
Please
you.
Send me the links. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.